Welcome back to Stateside. Earlier in the show, we talked about Mayor Mike Duggan's first State of the City speech. As Duggan does the heavy lifting to get Detroit actually up on its physical feet, the other part of its rehab is, of course, the historic bankruptcy. So many pieces, so many players. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes has been keeping a close eye on all of it. Daniel, the clock is ticking loudly, isn't it? Because Kevin Orr has only until September before his term is over, and there's an incredibly complex puzzle to assemble before then.
Yeah, and everybody's kind of sitting, all the constituencies are sitting back on their haunches and waiting for somebody else to make the first move, and nobody's moving.
Yeah, it's like a big game of chicken, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And the thing that I think is important this week is that bankruptcy judge Stephen Rhodes pretty much said, listen, we're going to keep this thing on the fast track. So for those of you that are asking for more time, you've had enough time, let's keep moving. And so I think we're going to start to see some resolution. But there's some really big things hanging out there, starting with the enact of the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of this, how this deal ultimately goes down, depends upon this very large $815 million fund that's been pulled together by foundations and DIA benefactors and a $350 million pledge from the state. But state legislators are suggesting that they're not going to support this. And if they don't, the whole thing collapses on itself. And there's very much a feeling within Kevin Orr's team that this is critical to making it happen. Just yesterday, Chief U.S. District Judge Jerry Rosen, who's the lead federal mediator, met with the foundations, and one of the messages he told them is, this fund is critical to making this happen, and without it, the deal collapses.
And are the foundations, are they still in the game?
Foundations are in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Foundations are looking for assurances that this thing is not going to get derailed. And my understanding is that Rosen told them he didn't think that it would, with the possible exception of an act of the legislature. Now, what's going on behind the scenes is that the governor's people and representatives of the majority leader and the House Speaker have pretty much laid out their plan about how they think they can get this thing passed. And so there's some degree of comfort behind the scenes that this is going to happen. But out front, you've got a lot of members expressing publicly skepticism about this, which you would expect in an election year.
Sure enough. And then as for the pension funds, there's the other question. But can you really fault them for waiting to see if the Sixth Circuit tosses out Judge Rhodes' ruling that the federal bankruptcy trumps that state constitution clause?
No, you can't fault them. And I think you would expect that they would do that. They have to show to their pensioners that they have every mile, if not extra miles, to see if that is upheld. That said, I think the feeling behind the scenes and what I'm hearing from people that have talked to legal types that have vetted this, and it's been vetted at very high levels, is there's a very strong belief that the Sixth Circuit will not uphold the pension protections.
Oh, boy.
And that they will find that the pensions can be diminished.
Okay. And
as contracts in a federal bankruptcy proceeding. That's a very important point for people to understand, is that Judge Rhodes is essentially saying, look, once you get into federal bankruptcy, the protections no longer apply because these are deemed as contracts. And we throw out modified contracts all the time in bankruptcy.
This is truly case precedent that's going to be looked at from coast to coast, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any question. And frankly, a lot of what's going on here in the bankruptcy is precedent setting. It's precedent setting in terms of how Kevin Orr wants to treat general obligation bondholders and essentially treat them as unsecured creditors. It's precedent setting in terms of how they would deal with pension protections in a state constitution. And Michigan is not the only state in the union that has a constitutional protections for pensions.
Right.
So this has a lot of application. Now, I think the perverse thing that's happening here, some people will say, well, this is going to push a lot of cities to want to look at Chapter 9. I think you could make the opposite argument and say it's going to push a lot of cities to say, we don't want to go there.
Mm.
And state governments also to say, we need to have a more robust system to help troubled cities before they have to get to that point. Because it becomes a contentious and expensive and embarrassing prospect for a major city in any state to have to go through this.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes with our Thursday check-in. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thanks for having me.